From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Obama lauds Africa's progress, but cautions it rests on a fragile foundation. Mr. Obama ended his two-nation Africa trip with an unprecedented speech Tuesday to the 54-nation African Union in Ethiopia, hailing the continent's progress.
The world must recognize Africa's extraordinary progress. Today, Africa is one of the fastest-growing regions in the world. Africa's middle class is projected to grow to more than 1 billion consumers. Hundreds of millions of mobile phones, surging access to the internet. Africans are beginning to leapfrog old technologies into new prosperity.
But he warned such progress can be sustained only through continued development, rights protection, democracy, and good governance.
Nothing will unlock Africa's economic potential more than ending the cancer of corruption. And you are right that it is not just a problem of Africa, it is a problem of those who do business with Africa. It is not unique to Africa. Corruption exists all over the world, including in the United States. But here in Africa, corruption drains billions of dollars from economies that can't afford to lose billions of dollars.
Mr. Obama cautioned Africa's progress rests on a fragile foundation and took aim at leaders who refused to step aside when their term ends. Media reports say at least 25 people were killed after suspected Boko Haram fighters attacked the northeast Nigerian village of Dil in Borno State. Witnesses say the attack occurred Monday afternoon when the fighters entered the village about 250 kilometers south of the city capital, Maiduguri. Local vigilantes and security forces resisted the attack. Meanwhile, Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari is set to visit his Cameroonian counterpart, Paul Biya, in Yaounde on Wednesday. This is VOA News. Turkey, fresh from NATO's support for its cross-border airstrikes against Islamic State fighters, targeted suspected positions of the Rebel Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, in southeast Turkey Tuesday. NATO backing followed an emergency meeting in Brussels. Amanda Paul, an analyst with the European Policy Center, said Turkey requested that meeting.
I think the main purpose is to give them some reassurance in terms of their bombing campaign in Syria and northern Iraq, that they won't be accused of violating international law in the after event. So they wanted to cover their backs, basically, by having NATO say, OK, it's fine, we agree, we understand your security situation and the concerns you have for territorial integrity, so go ahead, it's OK.
The United States, meanwhile, says it's working with Turkey on an attack plan to clear IS insurgents from northern Syria. Lawyers for convicted Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard Tuesday said U.S. officials have decided to free him in November after 30 years in federal prison. Pollard was sentenced to life in prison in 1987 for turning over suitcases of military secrets to Israel, including details on U.S. intelligence, weapons, and radar jamming equipment. Michael Fishback, regional analyst with Virginia's Randolph-Macon College, called the decision a milestone in his U.S.-Israeli relations.
The Pollard issue has been a thorn in the side for both parties for three decades. And the fact that Pollard is going to be released at all, let alone at this time, is simply a breathtaking announcement.
Well, Secretary of State John Kerry denies the pending release has anything to do with placating Israel over its objections to the Iran nuclear deal. Fishback says the timing, coupled with continued strong opposition to the release, makes the denial untenable. U.S. prosecutors have charged an admirer of Islamic State with plotting to bury a bomb on a Florida beach and blow it up by remote control. The Justice Department says Harlem Suarez has been charged with attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. A Libyan court has issued a death sentence to Saif Islam, a son of Muammar Gaddafi, in connection with the deadly response to the 2011 uprising that pushed Mr. Gaddafi from power. The Tripoli court also sentenced eight others to death, including the former spy chief Abdullah al-Sanusi and former Prime Minister Baghdadi al-Mahmoudi. Saif al-Islam is currently being held by a militia in Zindan. The United States Tuesday said it welcomes the decision by the Gambian government to release several relatives of the December 30, 2014 failed coup plot. U.S. spokesman John Kirby says the family members had been held without charge. He also called for the release of radio journalist Alagi Abdulli Cisse, who disappeared July 17 after what Washington calls a two-week-long period of arbitrary detention. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.